Welcome to Worship at Abiding Love. As you might have noticed, we're having a little bit of difficulty with our computer up top. So we are going to work our way through our liturgy today. And we will do our best in having all of the elements of our folk service here, but repairs are ongoing as we talk. We'll not let that hold us back. We can still praise God, can't we? Amen? Amen. It's good to be with you here. If you're visiting with us today, there are some books that will make their way up and down our rows. If you would, give us a little contact information on you so we can continue to greet you in the week to come. And we continue in our series, Language of Belief. We continue to explore and to unpack some of the language that may have become so anticipated, so expected of us, that it loses some of its brightness and its flavor and even its depth of meaning. And so, we take the time to unpack this language. And we began with faith and we continued with hope, and we'll continue in the next couple of weeks focusing on love and then some of the other language that we use. But today, let's begin with a song of praise. Typically, we would do our litany at this time, but a song of praise will work just as well. So let's praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in G. Let's stand and sing together. You'll be familiar with this tune, or you'll get familiar with it quick. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But folk singers would never sing that song that way, would they? No. Praise God from blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, we're glad you're here. And let's get really old-fashioned here. Let's grab our hymnals. And let's turn to hymn number 708, I believe it is, 708, Yesu, Yesu, and let's sing together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of life, bring your hopes and dreams to fruition in us. Let your hope for a unified humanity and a whole creation become the mission of your people everywhere. Fan to a flame the embers of hope you kindle in each of us. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Genesis.
In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." And the word was with God. Please read responsively Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. The second reading is from Romans. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And the word was with God.
And the word was with God.
Please stand as you're able for the gospel.
Shall we go?
The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people who love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our young'uns to come forward.
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell
Come on, Oliver.
Hi, Adeline. How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E. How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
Don't you love that song? I really like that. Tom, did you make that up?
Yes, I did.
You did. He is so clever. Comes up with these great songs that are related to what we're talking about. This idea that we don't spell Jesus J-E-S-U-S, we spell it L-O-V-E, because Jesus is love, right? And we also have this, my image is not here today, I'm imageless. But that's okay, we'll use our imaginations just the same. It was Folk Sunday, and I thought we would try one of my favorite folk songs. If you've been with us in chapel, as several of you have, we sing this song in chapel periodically, yeah. It's about the way in which God seems to hold all creation lovingly in God's hands. It's like he holds us like someone would hold a precious baby, like someone would hold a baby kitten, tenderly, gently, and lovingly. God has the whole world in his hands. So there's an old folky song about that, but it's one that we can still sing today with every bit of the energy. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then it goes on from that, and it has about 150 verses, because everything is getting held in God's hands. But we pick out a few just to be special. He's got all the children in his hands. He's got all the children in his hands. He's got all the children in his hands. He's got the whole world. And how about moms and dads and teachers? He's got moms and dads and teachers in his hands. He's got moms and dads and teachers in his hands. He's got moms and dads and teachers in his hands. He's got the whole world. And how about all the creatures? He's got all the creatures in his hands. He's got all the creatures in his hands. He's got all the creatures in his hands. He's got the whole. And how about you and me and them guys? He's got you and me and them guys in his hands. He's got you and me and them guys in his hands. He's got you and me and them guys in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Can you do whole world? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. Yeah. And thanks be to God for holding us each and every day and all through the night, all through our lives. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen. You can go back and sit with your folks now. We're going to talk a little bit about God's hopefulness today. So stay tuned. This can be interesting. We've talked about faith. You remember our definition? The assurance of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. This wonderful definition that we get from Paul. Remember that? That's faith. But we talked a lot more about faith. We talked about the way faith works in our lives, the way faith calls things forth from us in life, that faith is an active, engaged, kinetic thing in life. It's not just an intellectual proposition. It's not just what we say when we say, I believe. It's what we do about it too. So we talked about our faith, and we talked about God's faithfulness and how we need to make note and take stock of the fact that God is faithful throughout all of our stories, throughout all of our covenants, throughout all the situations that people throughout our scriptural narrative find themselves in with God. God performs. God is faithful. God keeps covenant, which is a Hebraic way of looking at the nature of this relationship. It's covenantal. And we are a covenant of believers come together in faith to celebrate God's goodness, to live God's way in the world, to be guided by these covenant relationships that God creates with us. It gives us, it patterns for us a way of being. And these covenants are always covenants of divine obligation and human performance. This is the way the theologians and the biblical scholars talk about them. There are certain things God says God will do. And there are certain things that are called forth as a response, a faithful or righteous response to God's commitment. God goes first, always. Check me out on it. In these covenant relationships, God is the initiator. God is the one that lays down first and says, this is what I will do. And here is a way that you can meaningfully respond if our ultimate goal is shalom, the peace and the harmony that God's calling forth in the world. God performs faithfully 100% of the time, even in the spite of a faithlessness to these covenants and these relationships over time that inevitably seems to come into the human side of the equation. We are fallible. We break. We don't get it right all the time. And thanks be to God for God's grace, because God doesn't throw the covenant out the window or us, but reminds us, as he says today, sends his own son into the world that we might know what that covenant life really looks like. And God, this God of endless, endless chances, this God of boundless forgiveness, of unconditional love, even in the spite of faithlessness sometimes on the part of his covenant partners. That's pretty good news, isn't it? That's why we call it the gospel. Amen? That's the good news. And we come here to hear that. We come here to be reinforced and re-encouraged by that. God is faithful and calls forth that faithfulness from us. So now when we turn our attention to hope and we begin to talk about hope, and I wrote this down again because I thought it was just the best definition of hope. God's gift to us, a positive aspect of mind and spirit that anticipates fulfillment. It is the energy inside of us that says that what we believe will be so. It's the positive anticipation, the expectation both in mind and spirit. This is not just an intellectual thing again. This is existential with us. This is marrow deep with us, this gift of hope that God places within us. And we make much of our hopefulness, and we hope for this. And we look at times in our lives, times in past generations, where things would push us in the direction of despair, and we wonder, can it be different? Will it be different? How can we help to make it different in places where the world is broken, where we are broken? And God continues to well that hope up inside of us. It is the very presence of God's spirit and vitality within us that continues to give us that hopefulness, that the one that we follow speaks the truth. That the one who made us good and sound and whole and longs for that wholeness to be restored. This is what hope is. This is the fuel of faith, as we talked about it. But at the same time, just like we did with faith, we need to talk a little bit about God's hopefulness. Just as we are hopeful, the Bible everywhere and always testifies to a hope that is present in God. We shouldn't be surprised by this. If you've studied Bible with me or been around here much, you know that I don't get real anthropomorphic about God. God is more mysterious than just another one like me standing beside me. God is larger than that. God is deeper than that. God is more profound than that. And yet, when we're told pretty plainly that we're created in God's image, that tells us some things about us, about things that we experience pretty universally as human beings. I would suspect that God is curious and imaginative by nature, because we are that way. I would imagine that God is a God of choosing and discerning, because we wield that power. And I would imagine that God is a God of hope, because God instills that at the deepest level of ourselves. A part of what it means to be made in the image of God is to be hopeful in the way that God is hopeful. So we talk a little bit about God's hopefulness. We have been called always to be ready at any time to testify to the hope that is within us. Remember Peter's statement? Always be ready. Be ready at any moment to testify to the hope that is within you. In conversations with people at work, at the store, around here, on the street. What are you hopeful for? I mean, look around. Holy moly. And yet, in us, in the people of God, God is calling forth that hopefulness as a blessing to the world and asks us always to be ready to give the reason for our hopefulness. Because the one that I follow preaches a way of truth and peace that overcomes evil and violence. Because the one who gives me life hopes for and longs for and is working in all things for the good of all humanity and all creation. That's why I'm hopeful, because I'm not in this alone. I'm hopeful because I gather with some of the most beautiful people in my life every Sunday, and what is regenerated in me, what is re-encouraged in me every week is hope. I believe that the people of God are the hope of the world, and I believe that you are central among the people of God, at least in my life and experience. So I'm grateful for you every day, and the hope that's in you, and the way that fills me and encourages me to move forward in the ways that I'm called to live and be in the world. God's hope for us. What does God hope for us? We selected an interesting story today for our first reading, Genesis, one of the creation stories. There are several at the beginning of the Bible, told by different groups at different times, but very close in the way that they're phrased and structured. And I think that on one hand, some people have engaged this very literally. They believe in a creation mechanism that is expressed in Genesis. And that's blessed. That's blessed. But I also think that there's a reading of this story that talks a little bit about the existential creation of us in relationship with God. And it begins with a dream. When I hear those majestic words of Genesis, I hear in the beginning was a dream, a vision that God had, a vision of beauty, a vision of vastness and intricacy, a vision of astounding diversity and proliferation, an ongoingness of life giving life to life, birth, burgeoning, proliferating all around us. A vision of imagination and reality, intertwined. Imagination and reality brought together and personified in Christ, yes, but in much all of God's creation. Finding that imago Dei not only in us, but in the world around us. God's vision of a whole integral creation, interlaced and interwoven with love. God's dream, a vision of perfection. And we get that. We have that for us in this creation story that we get right up front in the beginning, God dreamed a perfection and called it into being. I love the way the Hebrew scribes tell these stories, the way they shape their myths and their parables and their storytelling in order to convey the genesis of us, the genesis of our relationship with God, and the world in which God has nested us for all of this to be lived out. Think of the creation stories in that way. Maybe not quite so mechanistic, just for a moment, but relational. It's all there. There's divinity and mortality. There is wholeness and breaking and redemption. There is life and death and arising to new life. All of these important elements of our relationship with God are captive in these stories. And they're told in these dramatic ways, using these wonderful metaphors and symbols. Perfection is the garden. And originally we're nested in that perfection. And we know no difference and no distance between us and God. But no sooner do we find ourselves in that perfection, transgression enters into the scene. And transgression not just in the legalistic sense, once again. Transgression not just as the breaking of the rules, crime, even sin. Transgression as moving beyond, growing and developing. I believe that the story of Genesis traces not only the creation of the universe, but the creation of us and a process of maturation that we go through. Because we find ourselves at that place where we discover the difference between good and evil. It seems inevitable. It's interesting to me that the Hebrew fathers who originate these stories don't tell them as original sin, but as an inevitable development of a people given free minds and choice in relationship with a loving God. This narrative traces this story as well, a place where we differentiate, where we self-identify, and begin to live and make decisions and choosing for ourselves. And sometimes we choose wisely, and sometimes we choose poorly. And it is consequential in nature. It visits us with circumstance and consequence based on the choices that we make. This is a story of the evolution of us in relationship to God. And God's hope always, that we will choose wisely and that we will choose love. But you cannot have an authentic relationship of love unless the lovers have the alternative of choosing not to. Hear that? It can't be a real authentic relationship of love unless both parties have the option to opt out. And this is the great gamble. This is the risk that God takes. And this speaks to the hopefulness of God's heart. And sure enough, transgressing, moving beyond, crossing over borders into new territory, finding ourselves at odds with one another, at odds with God, there is a disintegration that's traced in these stories too. There are transgressions that begin to threaten mortality itself. Death enters the picture in the story of Cain and Abel. Murder enters the picture, and ways in which we can become so distanced and so fouled up by poor choosing that we take it out on one another at the cost of life itself. And it seems that creation itself is descending into madness. And we have this image again that comes up, the flood story. The Hebrew fathers are just one of many ancient cultures that have flood stories. There's lots of flood stories, and ours is not the first. But think about the symbology of this again. In the beginning, the dark waters were over the face of the earth, chaos itself, the dark, impenetrable unknown. And what whelms up again in the face of this transgression that comes into the equation? But these dark waters, once again, we get a flood story. We get a story of chaos rising and drowning and destroying. But then we also get this marvelous story of a God who, in the midst of all of that, says, I will not ultimately reject. Because I am a God of love and creation. I am a life-giving God, not a death-dealing God. And therefore, I will sustain. And God places a sign of ultimate hopefulness in the sky, a rainbow that follows the storm. Amen, John. And God gives us other signs. Again, this relationship, this covenant personified. The Christ comes among us as a rainbow in the sky of our lives, showing us that God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but God came into the world to save it. This is the grand narrative that is traced through Genesis and all the way through our scriptures, and somewhat cyclical and revisited in different ways at different times, in the same way that it's recapitulated in our own lives. We learn what it is to be differentiated from the mama. Originally, there is no difference there. We are one being with the mama until we turn about, I don't know, two, and we learn the word no, right? You've experienced this if you've been around other people's children, let alone your own, right? We know what it is to transgress, to move beyond the initial unity of that relationship and to explore out and to begin to make choices and decisions for ourselves. Me do it. This is the story of us. And all the while, God is hoping beyond hope that we will choose life, love. It's told in the stories of the fathers, the anointed ones, the messiahs of God, Moses. Today I lay before you good and evil, blessings and curses, life and death. Choose life. Joshua, following immediately on his heels, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A choice, a decision, to live in the righteousness of that covenant relationship. Jesus himself, live in my love. Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus puts wheels on the whole thing. God's risk, God's great gamble, God's great hope that we, as thinking, discerning, creative, imagining images of God, will choose life. We'll choose blessing. We'll choose love. This is God's hope for us. This is the one who says to us, I know the plans I have for you from before the beginning. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Plans not for your harm, but for your good, God says through the prophet. Here's God's hopefulness for humanity and the central place that we hold in all of creation. God is hoping every day, just as we are. And so, we pray, as Paul prayed for that struggling community in Rome that we were talking about Sunday before last. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. We hope because God hopes. We are hopeful because God is hope. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together as we profess our faith. I believe in God, who created all things and continues to create new life within us. I believe in Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, the Savior of the world. By his life, his death, and his resurrection, I can know the true depth of human possibility and experience the true joy of meaningful life. I believe that the Holy Spirit is present, now and always, calling us to faith, giving us spiritual gifts, and empowering us for service. I believe that the community of believers, called the church, can experience the fullness of the, through the word, sacraments, and all that we do. Gathered together as people of God, as people of hope, we are bold to lift our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Gracious One, we give you thanks for the hope that is inside us. It is a part of you, a gift to us, a miracle in us. Fan it to flames. Sustain it. Strengthen it. And let it be our energy to bring about the world that you are dreaming. Hear us, O God. Help us to be reservoirs of hope for places of hopelessness. Help the hope that is within us to spill over and to brighten the horizons for people around us. Help us to work together to bring about a sense of hope among people who can and will, if they will but dare. Hear us, O God. We pray blessings on this day. Blessings upon all who gather in this place. Blessings on people gathering in faith communities the world over. This is hope. This is a place where hope is restored and where hope is strengthened. We pray for our Austin City Lutheran congregations and surrounding faith communities. We remember today the people and mission of Spirit in the Hills Lutheran Church in Spicewood. We pray for the ministries of evangelists and servants like David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City, like Tim Sump in Ghana, for all people who are working in ELCA Global Missions and on the local level to make life better for our fellow creatures. Hear us, O God. We pray special blessings on people who have special needs. We pray this day for Morris Thompson, for Laura Blaschke, Gloria Hayden, for Tony Hippie, Rosemary Spaeth, Brian Land, Keith Reach, Annie Harton, Verla Cook, for Eli. We pray for Philip Haddock and for Keith Rufner, and we pray for Rick as he walks this journey of therapy and treatment. We pray blessings on Quinlan Cook and his fiancée, Catherine Albin, as Quinn is ordained to word and sacrament ministry in the Lutheran Church this week. And we pray for all who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, for all victims of disaster and human failings. Hear us, O God. Bless us with continued hope. Sustain us in your vision of a whole creation. And encourage us, inspire us, and equip us to work towards your great shalom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated as we gather the harvest of our offering.
See your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the sins he sowed. If you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing our offering praise today.
Thank you.
servant too. Hallelujah.
Let us lift our hearts to God. Alleluia.
We will raise them to the Lord. Alleluia.
Let's be grateful for God's grace. Alleluia.
Singing songs of thanks and praise. Alleluia.
It is our invitation as people of hope, everywhere and always, to give thanks and praise to the one who gives us life and who is the life of the world, the one who sends his Son that we may not know death and separation, but might know life and unity with the source, the ground of our being, the God of all. With all who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body, broken and given for you. Eat of it often, remembering me." And in the same way, taking a cup, blessing it, and giving thanks, he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember. And we pray in the words our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This is God's table. This meal is prepared for us by Christ. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal are welcome at God's table. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians and communion servers forward. Ushers will guide you.
Thank you.
Let's stand together. Lord, hear us as we pray. God of life, of all creation, you bless us in this sacred meal. Your provision for all that is needed and lacking in the world. Your redeeming of everything that is broken and wayward in our lives. You have strengthened and encouraged us for all that lies ahead. And you have given us a vision of your kingdom come, where all are welcome. All are fed, and none go wanting. Pray with me. We give you thanks in the name of the one who rises to make all things new. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We sing our praise this day. We have just a few announcements today, and most of them relate to Sunday, September the 8th, which is our Rally Sunday, and it's also Service Sunday coming up. We have a table out in the Narthex. Outreach has a table out here for you to sign up for service locations on that Sunday. Got a range of places to go, a range of types of service to do, something for the whole family. We're looking for some captains for some of these locations, and we're also, we've got an announcement from Pat Dove today, about things that are needed for our emergency services sites, plural. There will be several that we go to. Go right ahead.
On September 8th, we're going to go visit the fire station.
Pat, thank you. Pat's our captain for the emergency services sites, and there are a number of other places to go. So please take a look, sign up for you and yours. Let's go out and show people the hands and hearts of God, God's work, our hands. You are a great blessing, and you are a source of hope for me and for the whole wide world. Even though we rest in God's hands, it's up to us to live out that goodness that God instills in each of us. So we're going to sing our benediction to one another today, to the tune of a familiar song. Go forth together,
sharing God's love.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace as we go.
I have my